Ruth chapter 2. Now, while you're turning to Ruth chapter 2, I want to read you two different passages. The first one's in Luke 10:2. And it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Now, the other verse I want to read to you while you're turning over to Ruth chapter 2 is John chapter 4, verses 35 and 36. And here's what Jesus says there. He says, "Say not ye that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." And so we're told here in the New Testament that we as Christians work for the Lord Jesus Christ. We work in his field. We are laborers in his field. And the context there is the winning of souls. I think we all understand that. It's us witnessing to others and telling others about Jesus Christ. We are the laborers. The Lord is the owner of the field. And he allows us to labor in his field. Now, in the book of Ruth, we're told of a man named Boaz and a woman by the name of Ruth. And if you're familiar with the book of Ruth, then you know that Boaz is a type of Christ, and of course, Ruth is a type of all believers today. And even when they were married, you were given a type of the Lord and his Gentile bride. And I don't know of any other book in the Bible, really, where there are so many truths about the Lord and believers that are given as many types as the book of Ruth has. I mean, the entire book of Ruth is just one big picture of Christ and believers, okay? And I think it's just a wonderful book. I think it's a book that gives us all these different types and is a great book to study. But I do want to point out that you can never base doctrine on only types. You got to base doctrine on what the Bible actually says, and then you see types of that throughout the Bible, okay? But in Ruth chapter 2, we are given a beautiful picture of someone who's laboring in the field who's owned by another. And tonight I want to just kind of go through a few verses in this chapter and show you some of the truths that you see here in Ruth chapter 2 concerning the Lord of the harvest and the servants in there. And of course the servants there would be representing us because it's talking about Ruth. So I just want to go through it and just kind of show you the pictures and the types that we see. Now notice here in Ruth chapter 2, look if you would at verse 1. It says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." I drop down to verse 4, and notice that it says, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem." So in this chapter immediately, you have a mighty man of wealth to whom the field belongs, and this man just happens to be the richest man in this account. He happens to be the most authoritative and powerful man in this account, and he also just happens to come from Bethlehem. And so I think that you could see there that there's a picture of Jesus Christ, and I want to tell you tonight that we've been privileged to work in the field that happens to belong to a mighty man who was born in Bethlehem as well. And that, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, at verse 2. It says, "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter." She's saying, "I want to go work in this man's field, but I will only be allowed to work in that field if he gives me the grace to do so." In other words, she's not the boss, he is. And so that's what she's saying. She goes, "I want to go work in this field, but it goes, whose sight I shall find grace." In other words, he's saying, I want to go work in this field, and I'm hoping he gives me grace where I can continue to work in it. In other words, it's only by his grace that I can work in this field. And you know, it's only by the grace of God, really, that he saved us. I think we all know that. We're not saved by works or anything like that. It's only by God's grace. But even after we're saved, if we have any part in the Lord's work, that is not based on any merit of ours. You see, we don't deserve anything, folks. We don't deserve to serve the Lord. We don't deserve to be in his field. We don't deserve anything, okay? It's only by the grace of God that you and I have been given the opportunity to teach others about Jesus Christ and serve him. We're able to serve the Lord only by his grace. And you might be working in one part of the field, and I may be working in another part of the field, but let's not lose sight of the fact that we're allowed to work in the field of harvest. It's only by the grace of God you're able to teach a Sunday school class. It's only by the grace of God you're able to drive a church bus. It's only by the grace of God you're able to sing a special, and even to go out and witness to people. It's by the grace of God that you're able to do those things. In other words, He has to give you His grace in order for you to even serve Him. See, what we think is, well, I'm saved by the grace of God. No, everything that you do, it's by the grace of God. Okay, everything. And see, sometimes we lose sight of that. Okay, but we ought never to lose sight of that. Now look at verse 3. It says, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Boy, you're talking about a good boss. I mean, you think about this. Now, Boaz, he shows up, and the first thing he says, he didn't say, well, give me a report of what happened last night. How much did you get done? None of that stuff. Now, he walks up, and the first thing he says is, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless thee. How many of you have ever had a boss that the first thing he said to you when you showed up at work was, the Lord bless you? It probably doesn't happen very often, amen? Okay, I tell you this, you know, I'm still young in the ministry. I've only pastored really for 15 years. I've been in the ministry for almost 20, and I worked in the military for 20 years, and I worked at different jobs outside of the military. And you know, I've never had a boss that even came close to being as good as the Lord Jesus Christ is to me. Being a servant of His is the biggest blessing I've ever had. And being around God's people and serving the Lord has also been a great blessing. This, if you have to admit, it's some work environment. It's a great work environment to be able to serve the Lord. You can't get anything better than that. You know, and the Lord of Harvest is a blessing to those who work with Him, and the people working for Him, we're all blessed to be there working for Him. And nobody is more enjoyable to work for than the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have not decided tonight whether or not to work for the Lord Jesus Christ, I highly recommend it. I highly recommend it. It's good to work for the Lord. Look at verse 5. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Now, this is kind of interesting if you look at this verse. Notice here there's a servant that's set over all the other servants. The Lord of the harvest, you know, he's got a lot of things to do here. He's got work in other places and other locales. And so what he's done here is he's put an overseer in the field to represent him, to protect the workers and to provide for the workers, and as we'll see in just a minute, to report on the workers as well. You say, what is this servant's name? What is this man's name? Notice it's never given. It's never given. It's just saying this is a servant over the other reapers. And you know, I'll tell you, you say, well, what is this a type of? Well, I'll tell you this much. I know that there are names, different names for the Lord Jesus Christ in your Bible. How many of you know that there is Jesus and there's also Emmanuel? Okay, we know that. When it comes to God the Father, He has different names in the Bible. You have Jehovah. And you also have I Am. So those names are given God the Father. But you know, I haven't found yet a name for God the Holy Spirit yet. Now, I see His title, but there's no name given. You know what the Lord has done? He's put an overseer in His field who represents Him in His absence, who protects and comforts and takes special note of every one of the servants in the field. Now, Ruth has not been there before. And the day she shows up in the field, the Lord of the harvest comes and said, you know, who's that? And the overseer says, let me tell you all about her. And he begins to tell him about Ruth. Look at verse 6. And the servant was set over the reapers, answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. Do you know what this overseer does here? This overseer communicates with the Lord of the harvest, and he tells him who Ruth is, where she came from, the time that she showed up to work, and how long she's been out there working in the field. Now, our Savior Jesus Christ, He ascended up to heaven, and now He's seated on the right hand of the Father. But before He left, He made sure there was a comforter here to comfort us, to take care of us, to indwell in us, and remind us that there were children of God, to seal us until the day of redemption. That's what he's done. And what you see happening here is here, it's being reported exactly everything that Ruth had done. And I want to mention to you tonight, do you realize that right now, this Wednesday night is being reported on? I mean, God is aware of what's going on this Wednesday night, and there's a record being kept for everything that you did today, for everything that you did yesterday, for everything that you did last week. As a Christian, there is a record being kept. You know what happens tomorrow? There'll be a record being kept for tomorrow, how you serve the Lord, how you glorify the Lord. And one day, those records are going to be exposed, and the Lord is going to judge us on judgment day, at the judgment seat of Christ, on how we glorified him, what we did for them, how we worked in that harvest field of the Lord's, how we labored for him. It's all going to come out one of these days. You know, and sometimes we think that our labor is in vain, and we think that, you know, that we work hard and nobody cares. But if you're thinking that way, you're wrong. The person who knows the motive of your heart, the person who knows the sacrifice of your labor, the person who knows what you put into serving God, he's making a full report. And listen, the Lord knows what's going on down here. He knows. You say, well, I've worked hard serving the Lord and nobody even notices. Wait a second. You got to remember, it isn't payday yet. It's still a work day. We are working until the Lord. Listen, if it is no longer a work day for you, you're going to stop breathing and you're going to be gone. Amen? That's what we got to remember. We shouldn't be seeking reward today. We should be working today. The reward will take care of itself. The Lord's going to reward those people that work hard for him, that serve him. He knows who is and who isn't. He knows all those things. And so I'm just going to tell you that nothing goes unnoticed, really. God knows everything, and the records and the books are being kept. Look, if you would, at verse 8. It says, "Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens." Now, Boaz is telling Ruth here, don't leave my field. Stay here and labor here. Do you know what preachers are instructed to tell you pretty much on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? You know what preachers are instructed to tell people according to that book? We're to tell people not to leave the field, to keep on serving the Lord. Don't let somebody get you down. Don't let somebody get you down to the point to where you're not going to want to serve the Lord anymore, or you quit. You know, you got to remember, folks, you have the right master. You're doing the right service. You're harvesting the right things. You're in the company of the right co-workers. Stay in the field and just continue to serve the Lord. But you know, I've seen a lot of Christians who just because something didn't go their way, or because they had some sort of disagreement with other people in the church, they end up quitting church and just quit serving the Lord. I know of people today who are no longer in church at all, and they're not serving the Lord at all because somebody made them mad. But you know what Boaz says here to Ruth? And remember, Boaz is a type of Christ. Ruth is a type of believer. He says to him, don't leave the field. I want you to keep on serving right here in my field. And the truth is, at times, there might be a little bit of confrontation with other people in the church. There may be a confrontation between the maidens. They might get in your row. You might get in their row by accident. But don't let that make you quit. Stay right there working with the Lord until the harvest is over. The Lord of the harvest is saying, stay in my field. Look at verse 9. It says, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Notice here that everybody is working in the field, but not everybody has the same job. You'll notice there are some over there swinging the blade, and they're chopping down the harvest, and there's others over there that are picking it up and gathering it and stacking it. And then, of course, here you'll notice it says, and when thou art thirst, go into the vessels and drink that which the young men have drawn. So obviously you have people who are drawing water. So not everybody's doing the same job. You have those that are working in the field, doing the different things, and then you have those that are drawing water. And you know, I can just imagine if this, what we just read there, were a lot like some churches today or some Christians today, I can just imagine that one of those workers might look at someone else and start to say, hey, what is that guy doing? And someone answered, say, well, he's drawing water so that out of the well for people to drink. And I'm just sure that the disgruntled worker would say, well, that's not fair. Why don't he go here and do what I'm doing? I mean, I'm working harder. I'm doing all this. And he's just over there drawing water. Now, that's probably what would happen if these people were a lot like Christians today. There'd be a whole lot of bickering because a lot of Christians today have a tendency to look at other Christians and say, well, what is he doing? I'm doing this. How come he isn't doing that? And we always like to keep our eyes on other Christians rather than keeping eyes on ourselves. But you know what the truth of the matter, if you think about this, he told Ruth, he said, now listen, if you get thirsty, I want you to go over here to where these young men are drawing water, and I want you to go over and get you a drink. Don't you know that those people out there working, those reapers out there working in that field, after about, four or five hours working in a field, and all of a sudden they're getting all sweat, and their mouth is getting dry and parched, and all of a sudden, do you know how important it's going to be for those people that are drawing water then? Pretty important, amen? You say, well, what does this have to do with anything? What this is showing is this. We all are working in the field, or at least I hope you're working in the Lord's field of the harvest. I hope you're out there telling people about Jesus Christ. I hope you're out there giving tracts to people. And we all have a different, we all may be doing some different things, but every job that everybody's doing serving the Lord is just as important as everybody else's. Just as important. Now, if you don't believe that, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and I'll show you. Hold your place here. We'll be coming back to Ruth. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we get this idea that the things we do are more important than the things that other people do. And that's just not true. The Lord will use anything. And remember, it's not about what you do and how hard it is. It's just about you just serving the Lord, serving Him wherever He has placed you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look if you would at verse 12. It says, for as the body is one, and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized in one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased Him. You know what Paul's saying there? He's saying that every Christian is important to the Lord, and every Christian does what he does for the Lord is important. It doesn't matter what he's doing. It's all important, and it all works together. And rather than looking at everybody else and what they're doing, we need to concentrate on what the Lord has called us to do. Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 4:11. He said that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we have commanded you. Listen, the Lord has called you to work where you're at so that you can reach people there where you're at, and that's your row. That's your row in the harvest. And the Lord has called others to work where they're at and so that they can reach people in their field, and that's their row to hoe. And each member is equally important. Each row needs to be harvested. What I'm trying to say is this. If this were a big field here tonight, you got the people that swings that big old blade. How many of you ever actually swung that big blade before? I'm going to tell you right now, you're talking about making something to make your shoulders just scream. Okay, I did it one time, and that's just, I don't even know where you'd even buy one now. They used to have a hardware place downtown years ago that sold them, but I don't even know where you buy them. But I used to swing that thing, and you got those people out there in the fields in their harvest, and they're swinging that big blade. But while they're doing it, this person over here is stacking everything that he cuts. He's picking it up and he's stacking it up. And then, of course, you got the people that are drawing the water. Is there any job there more important than the other? No. Why? Because somebody's got to stack it, somebody's got to cut it, and somebody has to give water to the people that when they get thirsty. Amen? And so everybody there has a job that's equally important. And it's the same way with us as Christians. Whatever the Lord has called you to do, it's equally important. I've heard people say before, you know, they say, well, you know, I'm just not able to do, and I wish I could do more. All I can do is pray. That's pretty important, wouldn't you say? I mean, to tell you the truth, that's probably, I mean, there's nothing more important than praying. I mean, to say that praying is nothing compared to actually out there doing the work, that's not necessarily true. Now listen, if you're able to work, work. If you're able to pray, pray, but do something. Just do something for the Lord. Get in the harvest. Do the work. Be a laborer. Bible says the laborers are few. You know what that's telling you? That there's a whole lot of people come to church today. And there's a whole lot of people, when they sing their praises, they'll say amen. But there ain't a whole lot of people really out there in the harvest doing anything. But the people that are in the harvest, the worst thing you could ever do is start looking at everybody else and get your eyes on somebody else. You need to keep your eyes on what you're doing and keep your eyes on the owner of the field. That's what we're to do. And I'm just going to tell you that a lot of Christians aren't doing that today. Don't get caught up what other people are doing. Just work your own row. Look at verse 10, back in Ruth chapter 2. It says, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Now, you're talking about somebody who's humble. Okay, here Ruth is absolutely amazed at the fact that Boaz would even think about having her, of all people, work in his field. I mean, after all, she's a Gentile. She doesn't deserve anything. And she's sitting there amazed that, of all the people, Boaz is allowing me, of all people, to work in his field. And you know, some have been serving the Lord so long, and some have been in the field faithfully working the harvest so long that they've forgotten what it was like before they started ever serving the Lord. May I tell you tonight, don't ever lose the wonder that God, by His grace, lets us work in His field. When you're passing out tracts, or teaching Sunday school class, or telling your children and your grandchildren about the Lord, don't ever lose sight of the amazing thing that God lets you and me, of all people, minister His word to our children, to the people in His church, to our neighbors. In any way we serve Him, it's Him who's let us do that. When was the last time that you said, Lord, thank you for letting me serve you? Lord, thank you for letting me work in your field. You see, Christians today, they just don't think that way. But Ruth, she falls on her face here. And she's not thanking Boaz for a paycheck. She's not thanking Boaz for a new car. She's not thanking Boaz for a new house. She's thanking him that he would let somebody like her actually go to work for him. And so she falls on her face and she says, I'm so thankful that you've allowed me, of all people, to come in your field to harvest. But you know, a lot of Christians today, they start to think that if they do something for the Lord, they're doing the Lord a favor. And that the Lord owes them something for serving Him. But that's not right. It's only by the grace of God that He allows you to work in that field. And I might add that He allows everybody an opportunity to serve Him in one way or the other, so there's no excuse for not serving the Lord. And it doesn't matter what you're doing for the Lord today, just be thankful that God has allowed you to do it. If you get to witness to somebody tomorrow, say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be able to witness your word. I mean, we think that we're only thankful if somebody gets saved. Then we say, thank you, Lord, for saving that person. I'm pretty sure we all do that. But when's the last time that somebody got mad and slammed a door in your face and you say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ? See, He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to let you work in His field. But He did. We need to be thankful for the Lord that we're able to work in His field. All right, a couple more verses and we'll quit. Look if you would at verse 11. It says, and Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath faithfully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. And the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now, we don't have time to go over every single verse tonight in the book of Ruth. We don't have time to do that. And we don't have the time to cover every single detail. But I can give you a brief overview based on just these two verses. A brief overview, because really, if you think about it, these two verses right here are the book of Ruth in two verses. Okay? And I can give you a brief overview. Think about it. For Ruth, it began when she came from a land without a priesthood, without an altar, without a sacrifice, and without any word of scripture whatsoever. But one day, this Moabite girl heard about the true and living God, and then she made a decision to leave her people, to leave her false gods, and decide to go into a land that was the land of the true and living God. Now, if you'll remember, her sister-in-law said, "Oh no, I'm not going over there. I'm staying over here. I'm not going into that new land. I'm not going over there in that land. I'm going to stay right here where I'm at. And I'm not going to go over there in the land of the living God. And I'm just going to stay here." But Ruth basically said, "Well, I love you, but I've got to go. I've got to go to this new land. And I wish you'd come with me, but I have to go. I have to meet this new God. I have to go to this place called the House of Bread." And so she left. And she went to this new land. And when she got to that new land, she went to work for Boaz, the owner of the field, the Lord of the harvest. And while she was in that field, she was getting fed, she was getting blessed, and she ended up getting a full reward when the harvest was over. And the path that Ruth took is the exact same path that God wants every single person on this earth to take today. The exact same path. God wants all people to come to Him for salvation. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And then after a person gets saved, He wants them to begin laboring in the field. And when this life is over, the Lord wants to reward those who have labored in the field. And may I tell you tonight, if you're saved, if you're laboring in the Lord's field, doing what you can, serving Him one way or the other, may I remind you tonight that payday is coming. Payday is coming. The Lord knows exactly what you've done. The Lord knows how you've labored in the field. And the Lord's going to give you a full reward for what you're doing. Amen? That's what I'm looking forward to. But listen, folks, today we got to keep on pressing on. We can't, just because somebody makes us mad in the field, just because somebody comes over into our row and starts cutting on our row, listen, just keep on working. Understand that we're all working together. We're all equally important. And we all should just keep on serving the Lord because, listen, He knows what's going on. Somebody makes you mad, the Lord knows it. Somebody says something nasty to you, the Lord knows it. Somebody over here is not serving the Lord knows it. You may act like you're serving the Lord, but the Lord knows who's in His field and He knows who's doing the work. And those that are doing the work will receive a full reward. And might I also add that is pretty... There's a lot of blessings for being in the Lord's field even before you get to the other side. I'll give you an example. If you're out there witnessing somebody and somebody gets saved, that's a pretty big blessing. If you go out there and you see somebody's life changed, maybe you didn't witness to them, but it's somebody you know who got saved, that's a pretty big blessing. You're seeing the work that somebody else has done in that field. You're going to be able to see the fruits of that. It's a big blessing. You know, I look out in this church and I see people that I'm not led to the Lord, but I see them growing. And that's a great blessing. And when I see people serving and saying, "Hey, I want to do something. Is there anything I could do for the Lord?" I'm thinking that's a blessing because there's another labor. Bible says we're to pray the Lord of harvest that there'll be more laborers. But I want to encourage you tonight, get to work for the Lord. Get to work for the Lord. Because I'll tell you this, it's worth it. It's worth it to serve Him in the field. Do what you can for the Lord. And payday is coming. And though sometimes you may be weary in the work and wonder if it's really worth it, just keep in mind who you're working for. Keep in mind the privilege you have been given just to work for the Lord at all. And remember, the Lord does see what you're doing. He's aware of your weariness, and He will one day greatly reward you. I'll close with this verse. It says this in Galatians 6:9. It says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." We'll reap if we faint not. Just keep on serving the Lord, the Lord of the harvest. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and stop there. We'll take our prayer requests.